Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Jets Podcast on fansfavorite.com.
And good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Jets Podcast on fansfavorite.com, as we will review the 2018 NFL draft class for the New York Jets, along with Michael Cohen from his open mic YouTube channel show. I'm your host, Daniel Feuerstein. Rick Lachlan is on vacation, so he is unfortunately not with us today. But still, though, great to have Michael Cohen with us. And Michael, let's delve into this 2018 draft class. Of course, first round pick was Sam Darnold. Round three pick, Nathan Shepard, defensive tackle. Round four pick, Chris Herndon. And the three round six picks, Perry Nickerson, cornerback, Foley Fatukasa, defensive tackle, and running back Trenton Cannon. We all know about Sam Darnold. We'll get into him in a minute with, of course, with you and your opinions about Darnold. But you have to say, I think, for the New York Jets, they did just get the needs that they had to fill. Don't know if they filled all of those needs, but still, though, quarterback was the most important, and they got who they wanted.
The name is Fatukasi. Fatukasi. You got to pronounce it in Italian. Come on. I was a little worried about your introduction. You went my open mic. It's the open mic program on the YouTube on the Sports Talk Nation. That's what we call it. But yes, okay. Mr. Feuerstein's fire. Thank you for the introduction.
You're welcome.
Now, as far as this draft, as far as the draft after the first round, to me, it left a lot to be desired from the Jets' standpoint, because there's so many holes that this team has. And this is, again, part of the problem of trading two first-round picks to move up. Now, of course, moving up turned out to be a blessing as things worked out in the first round. We'll get into that in a second. But, you know, when you don't have second-round picks, you don't have an opportunity to go out there and get some big impact players. They did not address the offensive line at all in this draft, which I thought was a major disappointment. Getting a guy like Trenton Cannon, a running back out of Virginia State, just because you felt like it, just, you know, it doesn't solve the big issues they have at the running back position. And I have a lot of concerns about Chris Herndon from Miami, coming off of MCL surgery, not a big tight end, not a big physical tight end. I feel that after the first round, the Jets didn't do themselves a lot of favors in trying to fix this roster, especially in the offensive side of the ball.
You know, I agree with you, even though, look, you know, you can only get so many picks. And once again, Michael, I think we've said it both at the same time before this draft got started off the air, at least a week ago, or a little more than over a week ago, that, you know, if the New York Jets are going to make a big splash in this NFL draft and they're going to get the quarterback that they wanted, they had to make a move that, while maybe for some it wasn't a great thing, some say this is a great thing, but still, though, they went out and they got Sam Darnold from USC as their future franchise quarterback that everyone is already claiming. You, of course, have said, you know, if you're going to make a move like this, if you're going to make this move to go up from 6 to 3 in the first round, and you got to go after the quarterback that everyone has pegged to be a top 5, top 10 pick in the first round and who has a bright future. Sam Darnold is that quarterback that the Jets got after Baker Mayfield was taken by the number one pick by the Cleveland Browns. Saquon Barkley, the big-time running back from Penn State, was taken by the New York Football Giants with the second pick. And the New York Jets, that you all hoped for, and you hoped for as well, Michael, Sam Darnold is now a New York Jet.
Well, I just got to say this. Thank you, Cleveland. I want to thank the Cleveland Browns for being the Cleveland Browns. The NFL would not be the same without the Cleveland Browns being the most incompetent franchise in human history, let alone sports. Because the Cleveland Browns went out there and they picked up Baker Manziel. What's the difference between those two guys? Almost nothing. Baker Mayfield. And it was really a big blessing in disguise for the Jets, because all the rumors were that the Jets were going to draft Baker Mayfield with that number 3 pick. And that would have been an outright disaster for this Jet football team, because Mayfield is a guy who doesn't have the size, has a skill set that's kind of questionable, especially transitioning from the Big 12 in a spread offense to the National Football League. It would be a problem there. The off-field issues, the fact that he was arrested once, has had a lot of run-ins with other players on different teams, rubs a lot of people the wrong way. It really would have been a bad fit to bring in Baker Mayfield. As Ralph Facchiano at SNY said, it's like having Rex Ryan under center. I mean, it just doesn't make much sense. So I think the Jets were very lucky that Baker Mayfield ended up getting picked by the Browns. Take Saquon Barkley. I love that pick for the Giants. I know a lot of Giant fans are angry because, oh, we wanted a quarterback too. Well, it's kind of tough to do that when you have Eli Manning there and you have a new coaching staff and they're trying to figure things out over there. So the Jets luck out again, and then they have Sam Darnold drop right into their laps. Now, before this draft error took place on Thursday, I thought between Mayfield and Rosen, Josh Rosen, who was picked up by the Cardinals later on, I would have preferred Rosen. But once Darnold became available and the idea that Darnold could be there at three, yes, the Jets got the guy they needed, the guy they wanted. And for all those fans who were, we got to suck for Sam. We got to go 0-16. We got to score no points the entire season and lose every game. You got your wish. You got the guy you wanted. And to the fan who looked like Lucas Duda, who held up the Sam Darnold Jets jersey in a USC game, you can keep that jersey unless he changes his number.
Well, we'll see. You never know. I mean, 14 is available. You don't have to worry anymore about someone wearing that number anymore. So we'll see what happens there. And, well, yes, you did. Yes, you did. But after that was Jeremy Curley. So guess what? It is still available. So let me ask you this. Now, the big question about Darnold is this, and I've said this from the get-go. You bring in this kid who is going to be the future of the franchise as the quarterback for the New York Jets. We all know Josh McCown is not the answer. We don't know much about Teddy Bridgewater right now. We're going to have to wait and see what he can do during preseason, especially during training camp, even OTAs before the training camp section of the preseason gets underway. So, you know, we'll see what he can deliver, what he can do. But I have felt, and you may disagree and it's fine, Teddy Bridgewater should not even bother stepping on the field in 2018. I don't believe that he should be out on the field for Sam Darnold, I should say, for Sam Darnold.
Okay, thank you.
You pick this kid up. You pick this kid up as a, you know, future quarterback, a future franchise quarterback for this team. So in my opinion, and there are those that agree with me, and there are those that have difference of opinions, and that's fine. But I personally believe that Darnold should be developed and not step onto the field right away, because this kid is going to be the future.
I hate to burst your bubble, but Teddy Bridgewater may see the field this year. I know what you meant. But I know what you meant. But I think it's a situation where you are going to see Sam Darnold play for the Jets in the regular season, not right away, but towards the end of the season, late November, going into December. When you look at the Jets' schedule, there's a good chance that this team is probably going to be out of it by Halloween. They're not a great team. As I mentioned before, they have a lot of issues all over the field. Offensive line, defensive line, no edge rusher, running back, tight end, a lot of problems on this team. And I don't think, even with Josh McCown or Teddy Bridgewater leading the way, that the Jets are going to be in contention well past into November. So I just don't see that. So, you know, week 11, week 12, I could definitely see the Jets taking the, as Bill Parcells used to say, take the huggies off of Sam Darnold and let him go out there and play the final 3, 4, 5 weeks of the season. Play isn't the worst thing in the world. That's why I really think the Jets, unlike what they did with Christian Hackenberg, where they just basically shoved them on the bench and left them in there to rot, mainly because they realized that he couldn't play. This guy can play. This guy could even play right away, but he needs time to grow. He's only 20 years old. He needs time to learn an NFL offense, and he needs time to see how a guy like a Josh McCown, who, yes, he's not the greatest quarterback in the world, but still a veteran quarterback nonetheless, handles himself throughout the course of a tough season.
While probably in a normal sense I would agree, I'm afraid I'm going to have to disagree with you. I think he does not see the field. I think it's better that he does not see the field in 2018. Let him learn from the sidelines. Let him learn. McCown's going to have his, McCown's going to talk to him during, you know, times when the Jets are not on the field for offense and at the practice facility in Florham Park. I just believe that 2018, Do not let him go on the field. Do not even attempt to let him go on the field. I think he's going to sit out the entire 2018 season. And the truth is, I think that's the best thing for him right now. Let him see from afar. And if you feel that Bridgewater is going to be the one to take over for McCown, so be it. I'd rather see Bridgewater just to see what he can do. Other than that, McCown will only be available during the preseason.
Let me interject here, because there's a good chance
Bridgewater...
I'm going
to rain on your parade. Go ahead.
Hey, please stop. I have an umbrella, so there you go. But there's a good chance that Teddy Bridgewater may never see the field for the Jets because he is still dealing with this knee injury. The Jets are not 100% certain whether he's ever going to be able to regain his form from even 2 years ago, 3 years ago, before the injury ever happened. So it was more of a risk. It was more of a no risk move when they brought him in. So if he is struggling, not playing well, and it shows no progress in the summer, the Jets could just cut Teddy Bridgewater. They're going to cut either Hackenberg or Petty. They're going to keep one of them around just in case. If Teddy Bridgewater doesn't work out in training camp, they can just let him go. So it's a situation of transitioning from McCown to Sam Darnold. There's no doubt about it. I just don't think – I think in a situation like this where you draft the quarterback this high, number three overall, you have to at some point during the course of the year, especially if you're out of it, put him under center and get him some experience. You can't just let him sit on the bench the entire time.
And we'll see what happens. We'll see what both Todd Bowles and Mike Maccagnan will do. Will the trigger be pulled towards the second half of the season, depending on where the Jets are during the season? And we'll just have to wait and see, because one thing is for sure, Michael, is that after that bye week happens in week 11, the Jets are going to host the New England Patriots on Thanksgiving weekend in 2018. So we'll have to wait and see what's going to happen there. Let's review the rest of the draft now. Of course, as we've already said, that is I figured you'd say that. Anyway, no second-round picks for the first time in a long time this year for the Jets. They had 2 second-round picks, and, of course, that all went to the Indianapolis Colts for 2018 draft. So no second-round picks. But Nathan Shepard picked up in the third round with the 8th pick, 72nd overall, from Fort Hays State. This is a player who resides from Ajax, Ontario, Canada, and attended college at Fort Hays State. And seeing some of the highlights from NFL.com or from the NFL app, my goodness, Nathan Shepard is a human battering ram that just quickly gets to the player, the running back, who's got the rock in his hand, and he just puts him down like it's nobody's business. To me,
I mean,
it looks like 6'4", 315 pounds, and to me, it looks like this guy is just he just seems like he just knows where the target is, and he gets to it real quick.
Well, you're looking at not even – I don't even know what college rank that is. I don't even know if it's D2, D3, and certainly not D1. So to sit there and judge based on those highlights, it's really not really fair. I don't know what the Jets got here. It's a risky move that they made getting Shepard. They could have gone out there and gotten – if they really wanted to address the defensive line, they could have taken Nadai from Florida State, Hubbard from Ohio State, who's a defensive end. They could have even addressed their offensive line, which is what they really should have done, taking – you know, Orlando Brown was still available there at that point in the draft when the Jets were picking 72nd overall. So there are other positions that the Jets could have addressed and probably should have addressed in that spot. Could turn out to be really a boom or bust type of pick, more of a project. If he works out, fantastic. Then Mike Maccagnan looks like a genius. If not, then it's another situation that we've seen from Maccagnan over the years where he thinks he's smarter than everybody else and then overdrafts a player who he probably could have gotten like in the 5th or 6th round.
That's very true, and we'll have to wait and see. And by the way, Fort Hays State Tigers, they are a Division II side in the NCAA. They're in the Mid-America Intercollegiate Athletics Association, the MIAA. So that's where they are, and they are also a member of the Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference. So that's
a pretty interesting thing. The Missing Action Athletic Conference, apparently, MIAA.
MIAAC. So we'll have to wait and see what's going to happen there for the Jets. And as we keep on going, in this draft class, of course, just got to say for the New York Jets, I can get back to where I wanted to
Let me help you out here. They picked up Chris Herndon, a tight end from Miami, in the pick in the fourth round. And again, pretty much a project player. I mean, this is a guy who put up some decent numbers in Miami, has a good girth, 253 pounds, but is not very big. He's only 6'3". And usually, you like your tight ends, especially pass catching tight ends, to be about 6'4", 6'5", 6'6". And that's not what Herndon is. So he's not that kind of player. He's coming off of MCL surgery. He says he's ready to go. We'll find out when we get to minicamp and training camp what kind of impact, if any, he has on this team. But again, it's another situation where you have tight end. The Jets decide not to bring back Austin Seferian Jenkins on a contract. And tight end right now, as is always seems to always be the case with the Jets, is a glaring problem.
Right now they only have one tight end, and I agree with you. I thought that was a tough thing to see Austin Seferian Jenkins not coming back to the Jets. Not offering, or if they were offering him a contract, maybe it's not the type of contract he was looking for, and he signs with the Tennessee Titans. Round four pick there, the tight end from the University of Miami, Florida. He started the Jaguars. I thought it was the Titans. Okay, so he goes to the Jaguars. Thank you very much. Round six, they have no fifth round picks. They go to round six, three of them, pick five, pick six, and pick 30. Pick five, of course. Parry Nickerson, a cornerback from Tulane. I guess they felt that they're still a bit weak in the corner position right now, depending on what happens, of course, with some of the free agent signings that they have, but you never know what he can do. I mean, he looked solid in the highlights, and I know you don't want to rest your laurels on that, but still, though, Tulane, not known, in my opinion, as a big-time school for – a certain position in, going to the draft. But still, though, Parry Nickerson, McKagan felt this guy was something he liked, and he's going to bring him over.
Well, from everything that I've seen here is that he is – a lot of people say even though he lacks size, he can slow receivers in press coverage. He's very hard in coverage. He sounds more like a guy who could be slotted in a nickel. And I think this could be a signal that Buster Screen, who is the captain of the pass interference call, could be in some trouble here. And this might be the kind of player that you bring in and say Buster Screen does not live up to his own expectations this year in training camp and continues to struggle. Maybe Parry Nickerson could be a guy that could replace Buster Screen. It'd be the worst thing in the world.
Nah, not the worst thing in the world, and we'll see what happens, how quickly he can learn the defensive playbook and see what happens. Defensive tackle being picked up with the next pick in the sixth round, 180th overall, UConn's defensive tackle Foley Fatukasi, and we've already made we already had fun with his name, but still though, it sounds like this guy once again they're looking for a replacement for sending or allowing Muhammad Wilkerson to become a free agent to go straight over to Green Bay. And they feel maybe Fatukasi could be that guy to replace Muhammad Wilkerson and his work production. After what happened last year, it's not that hard to replace the work production that Muhammad Wilkerson did not show.
Well, I mean, if you're going to base it off of last year, it's easy to say that. But, Muhammad Wilkerson was an impact player here before the injury that he had in that Week 17 game against Buffalo a couple of years back. I mean, it's tough. I mean, they're trying to put square pegs into a round hole right here. They're experimenting here with Fatukasi as well as Shepard. They're hoping that they can replace both, not just Wilkerson, but also Sheldon Richardson. It's going to be tough to do. Both of those guys were high first-round picks. If this is a situation, Dan, I think that going into next year, the Jets have to really make a decision what they want to do. Do you want to draft defensive end, defensive lineman next year in the first two rounds? Do you want to use a first-round pick on an offensive lineman? Do you try to acquire another first-round pick from somebody, make a trade down the line, or make some kind of impact move to get another second-round pick so you can address these two spots? Because to me, these are the two biggest glaring weaknesses coming out of this draft, is the fact that Jets, again, didn't address offensive line, and their defensive line, it's square pegs into a round hole. I don't know if it's going to work or not. If it works, again, they look like geniuses. If not, it's just another year of having to patch all the holes that are there.
That's very true, and we'll have to wait and see what the situation will be once we get to OTAs. And, of course, the training camp that's going to begin July and getting ready for preseason games in August. It's going to be a pretty good calendar for the August preseason
games. I got to ask you, who cares about the last pick in the sixth round? I got to ask you, but you got the. Are you excited for some preseason football? Are you excited?
Of course.
Have you seen the schedule?
Of course. Yes.
This team is going to open its season. Folks, I don't know if you know this, but this team opens its season on Monday Night Football in Detroit. But It seems like every year now for the last, 4 or 5 years now, I have joined this guy and even Rick at either Buffalo Wild Wings or Hooters whenever there's a Monday Night or Thursday Night Football game. And now right off the bat, we get two in the first 3 weeks. And I expect you to be there or else. No.
Monday night's a problem because it is Rosh Hashanah.
Oh, come on. Jesus.
It's Rosh Hashanah. Come on. You're Jewish, too.
But football comes before
I'll
Rosh Hashanah.
See, but if only they played on Sunday to start the season. But anyway, Thursday night, I'm definitely going to make room and time for that one.
But you're not going to do it for Monday Night Football on the start of the season? Are you going to have your television off? What is this?
No.
Come on, do it.
I probably – are you trying to make me into a bad Jew? You can't do that.
I'm trying to make a bribe here. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to kick up the show and I'm trying to spice up the show a little bit and bribe you into coming. What can I'll give you? No. I'll give you free matzah. I'll give you matzah. I'll take matzah with me. Is that what you want?
First of all, that's Passover. You're mixing your whole things wrong, man. Come on, you're mixing the Jewish holidays.
Doesn't matter. Anything. Well, what do I have to get you over here?
I told you I'm available for week three. I'm available for Thursday night to watch Jets at Cleveland.
But it's week one.
I'll see what I can do.
Sure.
Okay.
I'll call up some of the showgirls. Get them over there. And I'll get you.
No. We will not do that. But anyway, you little such and such and so. But finally, Trenton Cannon, from Virginia State. He was the 30th pick, 204th overall, the third and final pick in the sixth round for the New York Jets. A running back. I don't know if this is the running back that sets the world on fire or challenges Bilal Powell for one of those starting positions, but I can see him probably at special teams right now. Maybe give Bilal Powell a break one play here, one play there. But truth is this though, I don't see Trenton Cannon as a surefire bona fide starter as a running back for this Jets team.
My advice to Trenton Cannon, learn how to tackle and learn how to wrap up and tackle, because that's what he's going to be doing for most of his first year on special teams. That's it. Learn how to tackle.
Yep. Yep. That's all you're going to do. I think that's what's probably going to happen here. But then again, the New York Jets right now, NFL Network gave a final draft grade for the Jets. And in their minds, it's an A+. They gave the Jets an A+ in this draft. I think we both agree they didn't address all the needs that they had to address. But then again, that's what happens when you are going to sacrifice two second-round draft picks, and you're going to move up from the sixth position, and you ask the Colts, we want number three, can you give it to us? And they say, yes, for this amount of picks and such and such and so and so. And they're like, fine. Deal. So that's the question right now, right there, Michael. Have the Jets really addressed all their needs? Answer short term is no. But we'll see what happens. Okay. But we'll see what happens, obviously, the next time they draft, because the truth is this. We are still in a rebuilding situation. The New York Jets are still rebuilding. We all know that. They just went through year one of the rebuild last year. Rebuilding is still going on in year two. And so far, I think they've done well drafting-wise up to this point after Darnold. There might be a couple of questions here and there. But I think at the moment, I think right now the Jets are in a decent position. Not great. Not great. But I feel they've done some good things. Not all the way through. I believe they're in a decent position right now. And hopefully we'll see more than just 5 wins this year for the New York Jets in 2018.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I think this is a year that they hope to win at least 8 games, maybe 9. Certainly make themselves be competitive. Realistically, though, this is probably a 4-5 win team. It probably still is. I would give their draft grade, I would probably give them a B-. Most of that going towards Darnold, but the rest, if I graded Darnold by himself, it's an A+. If I graded the rest of the draft by itself, it's a solid D. So I'm going to give them a B- overall for the entire draft. But again, it's still part of this rebuilding process. There are still players available. Players will become available towards the end of May going into June. So there may be some other players, that veteran players they add here in the next 4 or 5 weeks. But it's a process right now for the Jets. That's where they find themselves in. One thing I will say, Dan, and I know we're running on time here. The Bills drafted Josh Allen. And think about this. And this is to your listeners as well. Think about this, folks. Tom Brady and the New England Patriots are not going to last forever, right? Brady's, what, 41?
Right.
They didn't address the quarterback situation at all there in New England. At some point, he's going to retire. Probably between now and the next 50 years, he's going to retire. Hopefully sooner, if not later than that. This could be a division that in a couple of years might be between the Jets and the Bills. No disrespect to the Dolphins, but the Dolphins don't have a quarterback. Sorry, Ryan Tannehill doesn't do it for me. But if Josh Allen and Sam Darnold become as good as they are expected to be, this could be the Jets, an all-New York division, Jets-Bills, for years to come, if it works out that way.
I agree with you right there, absolutely. I mean, what has Miami got now all of a sudden? You know, Tannehill, he's not going to do anything. I think it was either Allen or Rosen that Miami wanted, but the Bills got their guy before he could be picked up. And also the Cardinals picked him up. And after Miami made their selection for a defensive player for a secondary guy. So all I can say is for the Dolphins, you will be in complete purgatory because of Ryan Tannehill. He is not the quarterback that the best that the Miami Dolphins have. Now, they haven't had a great quarterback probably since Dan Marino, and they've always had backups that should have been probably starters like Matt Moore. You know, they had Jay Fiedler, the quarterback one long time ago, but he didn't do much either. Nothing since Dan Marino for this Miami Dolphins side. Yeah, they had Chad Pennington for a year or two, but even though they had him for that 1 year into the playoffs, he still didn't do much. So all you can say now for the Miami Dolphins is, are you going to be the runners-up or the dead last team in the AFC East? And I would say they're going to be at least in the bottom two.
They should be. We'll see it moving forward, yes. I mean, as far as this year is concerned, I think all three teams are going to be still in the bottom. But moving beyond this year, there's going to be a change coming. It's going to be coming pretty quick.
Yes, it will be. Michael, thank you very much, as always, for your time. I appreciate it. And we'll see what the Jets will do. Let's just get ready for some OTAs. Get ready for some
Sports
training camp stuff.
Nation on YouTube, Sports Talk Nation, everybody, follow it, like it, subscribe. Oh my God, bye!
And bye-bye. And that is, of course, Michael Cohen from Sports Talk Nation, the open mic show that will be on YouTube. Should be a lot of fun. But once again, everyone, I still think that the Jets still have some more work to be done here. Once again, this is only season 2, the rebuild. And once again, I will disagree with Mr. Cohen because I don't believe, and I don't care where the season is going to be, whether they're like 3-7 or 4-6, 1-9 or something like that. The truth I feel is that if you want Sam Darnold to be the future of this team, I don't think he should touch the field at all. Sam Darnold should not touch the field at all in 2018. Get him ready for 2019. He's going to have Josh McCown, and that's all he can do. This has been the Jets Podcast on fansfavorite.com through blogtalkradio.com, the New York Jets. We review their 2018 NFL draft. From Michael Cohen, I'm Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you very much for listening to me, and talk to you next time. Bye-bye for now.